Let's pray as we open our Bibles to Joshua chapter 4. Let us ask the Lord's blessing now as we read and hear His word preached. Father in heaven, we thank you once again for giving us this account that has been passed down through the ages. This memorial stone, if you will, this word concerning your great victory there at the Jordan River, as you rolled back the tide, and your people crossed over and entered into the rest that you had promised them. For hundreds of years they wandered, and now they entered into the land that you had promised them. And we thank you, Lord, for the picture of that is the work of Jesus Christ, who is our rest. And you have removed the barriers and enabled us to enter into that rest. We pray that you would enable us to see that as we look at this portion of your holy word. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Hear now the word of God, Joshua chapter 4. And it came to pass, when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, take for yourself 12 men from the people, one man from each tribe, and command them, saying, take for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so, just as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones from the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord had spoken to Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them to the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. Then Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests who stood, who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood. And they are there to this day. So the priests who bore the Ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord had commanded Joshua to speak to the people, according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua. And the people hurried and crossed over. Then it came to pass, when all the people had completely crossed over, that the ark of the Lord and the priests crossed over in the presence of the people. And the men of Reuben, the men of Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh crossed over armed before the children of Israel, as Moses had spoken to them. About 40,000 prepared for war crossed over before the Lord for battle to the plains of Jericho. On that day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they had feared Moses all the days of his life. Then the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, command the priests who bear the ark of the testimony to come up from the Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, come up from the Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priests who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord had come up, from the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priest's feet touched the dry land, that the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and overflowed all its banks as before. Now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they camped in Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal. Then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what are these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over, that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. The grass withers, the flower falls, but God's word abides forever. Amen?
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we stop and we think about what's happening in our world today, there's a great war, I think, that is being waged against memorial stones. How many statues are being torn down or have been torn down of various historic figures? It seems to be that there is not only an attack on those memorial stones, but it's an attack upon history. There is an attempt, as some have called it, the Great Reset. We're going to eliminate our understanding of the past. And we're going to recreate whatever it meant and reinterpret it and now have a new meaning or a new understanding of history. And so we will destroy any marking stones. As I've been thinking about this in particular concerning going to the graveyard, and there are marking stones there where people have been buried, right? Memorials. Why are they there? Why are those stones there at the graves? They're there to remember, right? They're to look and remember the person who is being memorialized. In our text this morning, are there memorial stones? Do you notice there was two memorial pillars that were set up? One inside the Jordan by Joshua and one outside of the Jordan. Are memorials important to God? Are memorials important to us as believers? Yes. The old statement is, those that forget history or do not learn from history are what? Doomed to repeat it? How do we learn from history? Well, one of the ways is by establishing memorial stones. And we'll be talking today about some of those that we should be doing as individuals and as families. One of the most common verbs in the Bible is remember. You know how many times remember or remembering or anything like that is found? It's found 248 times. Many of those are commands. Remember, remember, remember. Is that important to God? Why do we have this? Most half of this is remember what I did. Remember who I am. Remember. It's an important aspect of who we are as Christians. When we made our public confession, what was it based on? What did you say? I believe. How do you know what you said? What? How did you know the content? You remember what you've been taught, what you have been heard, what you believe, right? That's a memorial stone, what we just did this morning. My main point, I actually apply all the way looking at a greater Joshua. The greater Joshua is our Lord Jesus Christ. He gained the victory over sin, death, the devil, as well as by His grace. He sent the Holy Spirit who provides all that is necessary for us to overcome whatever barriers or obstacles that stand in the way of His redeemed from entering the fullness of salvation. Do you know and trust Jesus to deliver you from the things that hinder you from living the abundant life He promised? And so again, we've been looking at the book of Joshua, and the summary of the book of Joshua is victory. Victory in Jesus, or victory in Joshua. And how do we walk by faith with Joshua in the rest that he has given us? That's a good summary of the book here. So my first point The first thing that we see here is a review of the past. Again, that word remember. When we read Joshua chapter 4, as we read the rest of the Bible, we should always stop and consider the original audience. Who was the original audience of this book and this chapter? It was the people that lived during the time of the judges. This was designed for them to read, to strengthen their faith, while they continued to take possession of the land that God had promised them. The book of Joshua was a book designed to bring remembrance of what God has done. By application, does that mean it applies to us? The answer is yes. It's also for us as well. It is designed for us to be able to review the past and see what God has done. As we sang earlier in Psalm 105, right? Celebrating His great wonders and His works and all. So what do we find here in our text? Well, the focus of chapters 3 and 4 are what? God removes the barrier. From going into the promised land, there was this raging river. It was at flood tide. And God removes this barrier. And it's amazing when you stop and think about it. As I said last time we met on this topic, it was at least 18 or more miles wide, the removal of the barrier. That barrier was there, and when God was finished, there was a path into the promised land that was 18 miles wide or more. God had removed the barriers from His promised rest in the land. And in a sense, that's what God has done in Christ for us, resting in Christ. He has removed those barriers. So what did God's people do in our text? What was the key word? Did you catch it? I counted 13 times. 13 times in this chapter and 9 times in chapter 3. When you find a word found 21 times in two chapters, is it important to the author? Is he making a point? What is that one word or that phrase that's used 21 times in two chapters? Anybody catch it? Anybody? Besides the Wojtek family? No, because we talked about it last night. Anyone? It's the word crossover. 13 times. Well, a couple of them are a little bit different in English, but it's 13 times is the term crossover. By faith, they crossed over what was a barrier. They entered in by crossing over. You see that? That is the most significant phrase in this book. There's another phrase, though, that also is significant. It's found 5 times, another verb, and that is the priest. What did the priest do? They ascended. They came up. It's the same word as the burnt offering, the olah. They ascended. They came up out of the Jordan. Is that another significant word? And the answer is yes. The Lord brought, by His own presence, pictured by the Ark of the Covenant, came up from the Jordan, up through that barrier that was removed, into the promised rest of God. But notice also the significance of this event is found in our text. Verse 23. For the Lord your God dried up the water of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which He dried up before us until we crossed over. Right there, twice, that phrase is. But notice, He ties it back to being delivered out of Egypt by how? By the barrier being removed, and they crossed over the barrier. And now the barrier was removed and they crossed over the barrier. You see, he ties those two together. Now, earlier, after they crossed the Red Sea, they failed to believe and they ended up wandering in the wilderness for 40 years and entered a different way, which required the second barrier to be removed. But the children crossed over. Both Joshua crossed over. Both Caleb crossed over. Both. My encouragement to you is, what will you do with this knowledge? Well, my prayer is that you'll remember and you'll rejoice. That you will rejoice in what God has done. When God did open the Red Sea and Israel was delivered from destruction there at the sea, and they crossed over, what did Moses and the people of God do? Moses wrote a song. And they sang a song. What was the song? I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously the horse and his rider as he hurled into the sea, right? What's interesting is in verse 16 of that is a prophecy of what our text is saying. I'll go back to verse 15. Then the chiefs of Egypt, or I'll back up to 14. Then the people will hear and be afraid. Sorrow will take hold of the inhabitants of Philistia. Then the chiefs of Edom will be dismayed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, will take hold of them. All the inhabitants of Canaan will melt away. Fear and dread will fall on them. By the greatness of your arm, they will be as still as a stone. Till your people pass over, O Lord, till your people pass over whom you have purchased. You will bring them in and plant them in the mountain of your inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which you have made for your own dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. There's prophecy of what we're reading today. Moses, as he was celebrating, the people of God, as they were celebrating this great victory over Pharaoh and the most mighty army of the day, he prophesies that they will pass over. They will enter in to this promised rest. And so what should we do? We should rejoice. Thank you, Lord, for tearing down the barriers of the people of God and the barriers that have kept me. Yes, I'm passing through the valley of the shadow of death, but I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. Was God there with the people as they passed over? And the answer is yes. The Ark of the Covenant is standing right there. They're passing by it. The presence of God. Do we have that with us today? Do you have that with you tomorrow morning when you get up? Is that important to you? You betcha. It's the most important thing you have is the presence of God. I will remember and I will rejoice in what He has done for me. What He has done for us. Second point, is there anything in the text that has commands, anything that God wants us to do? Well, notice in verses 1 through 5, in the middle of this passing through this barrier, all of a sudden there's a stop, a pause in the action, and God says to Joshua, okay, I want you to, before we finish this act, I want you to go and get some stones from the river. I want you to select one man from each tribe. How many tribes? 12. How many men? How many spies went into the land initially? Was there one from each tribe? Now there's 12 men that are going to this river, standing right where the priests are, picking up a stone and bringing in. Is there a tie-in? You can work on that one. What is it that they're doing with the stone? They're setting up a memorial. Is that a memorial that's supposed to just fall apart in time, or is it supposed to be maintained? The answer is it's supposed to be maintained because it has to be there when the kids say, what's this about? What do you mean by this? What does these stones here mean? It has to be maintained. It has to be there for them to ask the question. So what does God ask us to do? It's again, set up and maintain or use means to remember and rejoice. So what are some of those means that we can use to remember and rejoice in what God has done for us. And I've already said it, right? This is the main one. Right? How often do you read this? How often do you read it with your children? Do you have an established reading time with your family where you open the Bible and read the Bible? We have a pattern in our house that at every dinner time, we read the Bible, we read a chapter. That's a memorial stone that is established. And sometimes we don't, and when we don't, to me, it feels really weird. Something comes up, and for some reason, busyness or whatever, we don't. And afterwards, I feel like, oh man, we missed something. There was something that was not done today. It's a habit. It's a good habit, right? There's good habits and bad habits. That's a good habit. That is a memorial stone. That is a memory. Reminding ourselves. What's another one? What's another memorial that God has established for us to remember and rejoice in? And the answer is communion, the Lord's Supper, the sacraments, right? What did Jesus say? Do this what? And remember. Does it say that there on the... Oh, it doesn't have that on there. Okay, which is good. There's a lot of different... Yeah. Anyways, but in remembrance, right? Jesus said, how often, how long, I mean, how long are you supposed to do this until he comes back? So, we're to remember what he's done for us over and over and over again. It's a memorial stone. Secondly, what else does he want us to do? Recount to your children. And I would say it this way, set up ways to elicit questions. In the text, twice we read what? That your children will ask the question, what does this mean? Well, they wouldn't ask the question if there wasn't that something to trigger that question, right? So how can I set up things to encourage my biological children, my spiritual children, that they would ask, what does this mean? Again, scripture reading at the dinner table. Do you just read, if you do that, do you just read it or do you talk about it? Do you ask questions or encourage questions to be asked? Do you chew on the Word of God, if you will? What's another one? Well, another one is this little tool here, Heidelberg Catechism, or other tools like that. What kind of format is it in? Question and answer. Why? Because that's a good way to learn, right? The Socratic method, asking questions and giving answers. It's why we train our children. We have them memorize the Heidelberg Catechism and so that we're coming back and we're building and setting up ways to recount what God has done. Notice thirdly, verse 1. And it came to pass, when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, and then down to verse 3, and commanded them. So here we have God speaking, and Joshua hearing, and then commanding. We have it again in verse 8 and throughout. So there's commands that are gone out, and what are they to do? They're to do it. So the command comes, you 12 guys, you grab a stone, pick up a stone. And it probably wasn't a little stone because they had to put it on their shoulders, so they weren't carrying this little thing. Okay, now you got to haul this stone. Oh, stop that. Haul this stone all the way to where we're going to camp tonight in Gilgal. Okay, now you can set it down. Okay. Now what I want you to do is to take these stones that are there and now build a memorial. It's a command. What did they do? They obeyed. Just do it. What else? Look at verse 10. I'm going to back up to 9. Then Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there till this day. So the priests who bore the Ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished. For the Lord had commanded Joshua to speak to the people according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua. And the people hurried and crossed over. So you have the people crossing over, but what did the priests do?
What'd the priest do? They stood there. Why? Because God told them, stand there. Okay? They did what they were commanded.
And then, like I said, over 13 times we find the word crossover. Why did they cross over? Because God said cross over. Go to the other side. Yes, sir. Go to the other side. What about us? Has God commanded us to do anything? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Pursue holiness? Is there any commands that we respond to what God has done in thankfulness by doing what He commands? The answer is yeah. It's a life of thankfulness. Where's the Ten Commandments expounded in the Heidelberg Catechism? It's in the place of thankfulness for redemption. God has called us to do. To cross over. To trust. To set up memorials. To pick up. To stand. By faith in God's Word. There's much that God wants us to do in thankfulness of what He's done. And third point, what is the purposes, what is His purposes, and what are done? And there we find very clearly in verse 24, that, purpose clause, that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand or the power of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. Again, this barrier, this river that was at flood stage was removed for miles. Do you think the people of the land noticed? Can you imagine the panic? They're already, and we read in chapter 2 that Rahab is saying they're already, their hearts are melting. Because of what God did at the Red Sea, now what? Now the only thing between us and them, the barrier, is gone, and here they come. He fulfilled His promises to our fathers and to us, that the peoples of the earth may know. That's not the only time that's stated in the Bible. It's over and over and over again. One of the purposes of God in showing the victory in Christ is that everybody may know who He is and what He's able to do. He is the only God. He is our Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. He is the one who rules, the sovereign ruler. And secondly, notice in there also that you may fear the Lord your God forever. That you may show respect. That you may function in your life in that fear. Did Israel do that? Like I said, the original audience of this book was the people during the time of the judges. Did they fear the Lord? No. Summarize that period. Every man did that which is right in his own eyes. The cycle. They didn't read. They didn't take this Word of God and apply it. And they suffered the consequences going through this cycle of rest, rebellion, judgment, deliverance, rest, rebellion, judgment, deliverance. Over. But it wasn't this, it was more like this. If you read the book of Judges. They didn't take this word, was their Bible, and they didn't believe it. They didn't remember it. And they suffered the consequences. No, the purpose is that we would respect the Lord our God for a day, for an hour, or forever. Thank you. All our days. The purpose here is to reveal the power of God, His authority over all things. Does that bring comfort to you? To know that God's in control. Yeah. We're not like those who are without hope. Right? Does it bring comfort in life and in death? The answer is yes. But But notice also in verse 14, the purpose here of this event, on that day the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they had feared Moses all the days of his life. They respected God's servant. Here we see Joshua, his servant, being equipped to do his will, to be his representative. And the proper response is to hear and to obey, to do what God has said through his servants. I read earlier, before the service, the gospel according to Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Did you notice the connection between what Jesus did with what the apostles did? All those witnesses? Jesus died, was buried, rose again, and he was proclaimed by hundreds of authorized representatives to give firsthand knowledge. So we see here the equipping of Joshua to do what God has called him to do. Now we saw earlier that equipping came in chapter 1 and so on, but here the Lord strengthened that. Do we respect those in authority over us? Do we encourage them? Do we desire to be those as well? And finally, notice in verses 15 through 18, again, to reveal God's word and God's will. There, the command goes out for the priests to come up. So they came up. That is such a wonderful phrase. Ascend. This is the most important event of the week. Why? Because we ascend into the presence of God as the body of Christ, as the church. Come up to me. How blessed it is to be called by God to be in his very presence. So in conclusion, to summarize what we see here, Paul wrote after he prayed in Ephesians chapter 3, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above. He went and grabbed all the Greek words you could think of to try to make the point. Exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or even think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ, to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we do believe that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. We know what you have done. We read this account. We thank you, O Lord, for the privilege of being able to look back and to see that tearing down of that barrier, which seemed impassable for the people of God. Impossible for the people of God. And yet they passed over. They crossed over. They came up. They entered into the rest. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that it was through you, through your life, your death, your resurrection, your ascension, your coming again, that your victory is secure, and that we are secure in you, and that we are now in a mopping up operation here on earth. We, like those people, the next generation after Joshua, are in war, at war. And yes, the war is against the truth. The war is against history. As memorial stones and statues are being torn down, enable us, O Lord, to establish those memorials in our families, in our church, in our world. Especially that memorial of what Christ has done for us. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are working and you are almighty and you are accomplishing your purposes in and through us. Enable us, O Lord, to follow you. Guide us, O Sovereign Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name.